जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी, जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी, गोपीजना वल्लभ गिरिवर धारी, जय गोपी जाना वल्लभ गिरिवर धारी, यशोदा नंदन ब्रज जनरंजन, यशोदानंदन ब्रज जनरंजन, यमुना तीरावन चारी, यमुना तीरावन चारी, जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी, जय गोपी जन वल्लभ गिरिवर धारी, यशोदानंदन ब्रज जन रंजन, यमुना तीरावन चारी, जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी, गोपी जन वल्लभ गिरिवर धारी, यशोदानंदन ब्रज जन रंजन, यमुना तीरावन चारी, जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी, हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे हरे, हरे रामा राम राम हरे हरे, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Jaya Prabhupada, 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 Jaya Prabhupada. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 1, Chapter 9, Text Number 38. Vijayaratha Kutumba Attatotre Dhrataya Rashmini Tachriyekshaniye Bhagavati Ratirastume Murusho Yamiha Nirikshah Tagata Swarupam Vijayaratha Kutumba Attatotre Dhrataya Rashmini Tachriyekshaniye Bhagavati Ratirastume Murusho Yamiha Nirikshah Tagata Swarupam Vijayaratha Kutumba Attatotre Dhrataya Rashmini Tachriyekshaniye Bhagavati Ratirastume Murusho Yamiha Nirikshah Tagata Swarupam Attatotre Dhrataya Rashmini Tachriyekshaniye Bhagavati Ratirastume Mumursho Yamiha Nirikshah Tagata Swarupam Vijayaratha Kutumba Attatotre Dhrataya Rashmini Tachriyekshaniye Bhagavati Ratirastume Mumursho Yamiha Nirikshah Tagata Swarupam. Mataji, Vijaya, Arjun, Ratha, Chariot, Kutumbe, the object of protection at all risk. Attatotre, with a whip in the right hand. Gratahaya, controlling the horses. Rashmini, ropes. Tatshriya, beautifully standing. Ikshaniye, to look at. Bhagavati, under the personality of Godhead. Ratiyastu, let my attraction be. Mumursho, one who is about to die. Yam, upon whom? Iha, in this world. Niriksha, by looking. Hata, those who died. Gata, attained. Swarupam, original form. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace Srisi Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Translation: at the moment of death, let my ultimate attraction be to Sri Krishna, the personality of Godhead. I concentrate my mind upon the chariot driver of Arjuna, who stood with a whip in his right hand and a bridle rope in his left, who was very careful to give protection to Arjuna's chariot by all means. Those who saw him on the battlefield of Kurukshetra attained their original forms after death. A pure devotee of the Lord constantly sees the presence of the Lord within himself because of being transcendentally related by loving service. Such a pure devotee cannot forget the Lord for a moment. This is called trance. The mystic tries to concentrate upon the super soul by controlling the senses from all other engagements, and thus he ultimately attains samadhi. A devotee more easily attains samadhi or trance by constantly remembering the Lord's personal feature along with His holy name, fame, pastimes, etc. Therefore, the concentration of the mystic yogi and that of the devotee are not on the same level. The concentration of the mystic is mechanical, whereas that of a pure devotee is natural in pure love and spontaneous affection. Bhishma Deva was a pure devotee, and as a military marshal, he constantly remembered the battlefield feature of the Lord as Partha Sarathi, the chariot driver of Arjuna. Therefore, the Lord's pastime as Partha Sarathi is also eternal. The pastimes of the Lord, beginning from his birth at the prison house of Kamsa up to the Maushal Leela at the end, all move one after another in all the universes, just as the clock hand moves from one point to another. And in such pastimes, his associates like the Pandavas and Bhishma are constant eternal companions. So Bhishma Dev never forgot the beautiful feature of the Lord as Partha Sarathi, which even Arjuna could not see. Arjuna was behind the beautiful Partha Sarathi, while Bhishma Dev was just in front of the Lord. As far as the military feature of the Lord is concerned, Bhishma Dev observed this with more relish than Arjuna. All the soldiers and persons on the battlefield of Kurukshetra attained their original spiritual form like the Lord after their death, because by the causeless mercy of the Lord, they were able to see Him face to face on that occasion. The conditioned souls rotating in the evolutionary cycle from the aquatics up to the form of Brahma are all in the form of Maya, or the form obtained by one's own actions and awarded by material nature. The material forms of the conditioned souls are all foreign dresses, and when the conditioned soul becomes liberated from the clutches of material energy, he attains his original form. The impersonalist wants to attain the impersonal Brahman effulgence of the Lord, but that is not at all congenial to the living sparks, parts and parcels of the Lord. Therefore, the impersonalists again fall down and get material forms, which are all false to the spirit soul. A spiritual form like the Lord's, either two-handed or four-handed, is attained by the devotees of the Lord either in the Vaikuntas or in the Goloka planet, according to the original nature of the soul. This form, which is 10% spiritual, is the swarupa of the living being, and all the living beings who participated on the battlefield of Kurukshetra on both sides attained that Swarupa as confirmed by Bhishma Dev. So Lord Shri Krishna was not merciful only to the Pandavas, he was also merciful to the other parties because all of them attained the same result. Bhishma Dev wanted the same facility also, and that was his prayer to the Lord, although his position as an associate of the Lord is assured in all circumstances. The conclusion is that whoever dies looking on the personality of God at within or without attains his Swarupa, which is the highest perfection of life. Om Jnanatimirandasya Jnananjanashalakaya Chakshurunmilitam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha. Shri Chaitanya Manovishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupakramayam Dadi Svapadantikam. Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Udapadakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamsya Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sagana Raghunathanvitam Dvam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadhutam Bhurijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sagana Dalita Shri Vishakhanvitam Sya He Krishna Karuna Sindho Dina Bandho Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Rishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vancha Kalpatarubhyascha Kripa Sindubhyevacha Paditanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namah. Jai Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. Hare Krishna 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. Translation once again. At the moment of death, let my ultimate attraction be to Shri Krishna, the personality of Godhead. I concentrate my mind upon the chariot driver of Arjun who stood with a whip in his right hand and a bridle rope in his left, who was very careful to give protection to Arjuna's chariot by all means. Those who saw him on the battlefield of Kurukshetra attained their original forms of death. So, recently I came across a very interesting story from World War II, inspired by our Shamanand Prabhu. He knows a lot of stories from World War II also. So, this is the story of Desmond Doss. So he was a medic in the Second World War. And he belonged to the 77th Division of the Army. And he was involved in an invasion that was considered even greater than the invasion that happened on D-Day. It was called Operation Iceberg, which was about taking over the island of Okinawa. Now this island is situated in the Pacific Belt, and right now it's part of the country of Japan. It's the fifth largest island of Japan. But back then, what was happening was, those who know a little bit about World War II, Japan was moving towards the east, and it had reached to China, it had taken over even China. And when the United States entered the war, following the incident at Pearl Harbor, they started retrieving all those territories which Japan had captured. And a lot of war was waged in the Pacific Isles. And amongst these wars that were fought in that region, this operation, the operation of Iceberg, the takeover of Okinawa, is considered to be the bloodiest of all battles. Around 15,000 American soldiers were killed, and 115,000 Japanese, most of them civilians, were also killed in casualties in this particular war. So this island, it's an island, Okinawa, it was a great challenge to take over this particular island. The geography of this island was like this, something like this, if you can visualize it. Like, when the beach ended, there was this escarpment, which was like a ridge. And one had to climb this escarpment, a kind of, a wall that one had to climb before one reached the island, the main island, which was situated on a plateau. The island actually was situated on a plateau and was separated by the sea by this escarpment, which was like a wall, a natural wall. So, for the soldiers to take over the island, the first thing that they had to do was climb this ridge, this escarpment, to reach the plateau, and then they could fight the Japanese soldiers. And Japan had well under their control this particular island. They far outnumbered the American soldiers, and their spirit was unfailing. The Japanese, they followed this system of never surrender. They're extremely reluctant to surrender, and a lot of stories of the World War II, a lot of fascinating stories revolving around the World War II deal with this spirit of the Japanese. And they outnumbered the Americans, they had this undying spirit, and they had very vile military tactics, in the sense that they were ruthless in battle. They wouldn't even spare the medics. So this particular soldier, Desmond Doss, was a medic. So the order came from the high command that at any cost, this island has to be captured. So if I'm not wrong, it was the 5th of May 1945, when the B company of the 77th Division, to which Desmond Doss belonged, they were ordered to go on this island, to climb this escarpment, climb this ridge, occupy the plateau, and take over the island. So there are 155 people in Company B, and all 155 climbed the hill, and the Japanese soldiers, they had very tricky ways. Whenever the American soldiers climbed on the plateau, they would allow them to climb. And once they saw that sufficient number of soldiers had assembled on the plateau, then they would open fire so that there could be maximum casualties. Because if they didn't allow the American soldiers to climb on top, they couldn't kill as many American soldiers, right? So Company B, they climbed on the plateau by climbing on the escarpment. And when they reached on top, the Japanese opened fire. And when they opened fire, they really opened fire. And the soldiers, the American soldiers, had no recourse but to retreat. So 55 of them managed to somehow climb down once again to safety. But 100 of them were trapped on top. because they were either killed or they were injured. And the 55 people who escaped, they dared not go back again on top to save the 100 who were trapped on the plateau, because if you go up there, you are bound to be killed. So 100 were trapped up there and the 55 were in safety. And Desmond Doss, even though he wasn't injured, because he was a medic, he was busy trying to retrieve these 100 soldiers who were lying on this rocky plateau on Okinawa Island. And while he was trying to take all these soldiers one by one to safety, the Japanese were opening fire. He was trying to save his fellow soldiers amidst the firing which is coming from the Japanese army. He was doing it amid a hail of fire and immense bullets that were being fired. And what he did in the next 12 hours was nothing short of a miracle. In the next 12 hours, he tirelessly lowered 75 of those men back to safety. Many of these soldiers, he dragged them to the edge of the plateau. It was many a times the length he had to drag these injured soldiers was as much as 125 yards. He pulled them to safety and then he lowered these soldiers using ropes one by one. So in the next 12 hours, he lowered 75 men back to safety. And all along, the soldiers who were standing below were calling out to him, "Desmond, what are you doing? Please come down. You won't be able to survive up there. Please come down." And paying no heed to the calls coming from below, Desmond Doss went about his mission of trying to protect his fellow soldiers, one after the other. 75 soldiers in the next 12 hours. On an average, one soldier every 10 minutes. An impossible feat. And for this, he eventually was awarded the highest military award given in the United States Army, which is the Congressional Medal of Honor. Now, later when he recollected what was his consciousness while he was trying to save the soldiers, Desmond Doss, who was a devout Christian, he said that while he was doing this, his constant prayer was, "Please, Lord, help me get one more. Please, Lord, help me get one more." So while he was getting each soldier, he was praying to the Lord, "Please, Lord, help me get one more." And the very interesting thing was, this Desmond Doss was the first American soldier who got this Medal of Honor, who was a conscientious objector. What is a conscientious objector? In short, they are people who don't believe in violence. They are pacifists. So he did the entire operation without carrying a gun. Without carrying a gun, he saved the lives of 75 soldiers while the Japanese were full on opening fire. Now obviously, his understanding was all mixed up. Now obviously, see, his philosophy basically was, while the other soldiers, you know, they were trying to take lives, he wanted to save lives on the war field. But he was keen on going on the war field nonetheless. Now, obviously, a war can't be won through non-violence. You have to resort to violence to win a war. Now, his philosophy was all mixed up.
His understanding was mixed up. He was primarily motivated by the sixth commandment, thou shalt not kill. But the point I am trying to make is, he had that desire, that intense desire. And Krishna sees the sincerity of desire. His understanding of the scriptures must have been mixed up. His philosophy must have been mixed up. But there was sincerity there. There is no second way. There is no second thought on that. Amid the firing of bullets, amid a raging war, to hold on to that prayer, please Lord, help me get one more. To even remember the Lord in that position and to have that consciousness of dependence on Him while He's trying to save His fellow soldiers. It's a very high level of consciousness. Very humbling, personally speaking, because I might be having access to the highest philosophy, but at the end of the day, what really matters is to what extent I am implementing it in my own life. The example is given that the Vedic system is like a university which can take you to the PhD level. But then, I could be part of the system, but I could be still in second standard. But someone like, you know, Desmond Doss, his university might be capable of taking him only till 10th standard, but he might be on 10th standard level. And I might be still in second standard. So the reason I kind of brought out this story is because here, Bhishmadev, in this particular verse, he is expressing his desire. At the moment of death, let my ultimate attraction be to Shri Krishna. He is desiring, and Krishna is fulfilling that desire of his. So if a devotee has a sincere desire, Krishna definitely fulfills that desire. No doubt about it. If the desire is not getting fulfilled, it only means that there is something lacking on our part. There was something lacking in our sincerity of desire. Right? In a beautiful purport in the 7th canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam, Srila Prabhupada, he says, the Lord acts only to satisfy the desires of His devotees. Otherwise, He has nothing to do. And then he explains his statement. Prabhupada says, as confirmed in the Vedic language, natasya karyam karanam cha vidyate, the Lord has nothing to do personally, for everything is done through His different potencies. Parasya shaktir vividhaiva shruyate. The Lord has multifarious energies through which everything is done. Thus, when He personally does something, it is only to satisfy His devotee. So, all aspects of the material creation, everything is taken care of by the Lord's energies. Practically speaking, Krishna has nothing to do because everything is handled by His energies. The only thing that he does personally is to satisfy his devotees, to fulfill the desires of his devotees. And here we see this beautiful pastime of the passing of Bhishmadev proves this point to a T, that Bhishmadev lying down on the battlefield of Kurukshetra, he had that firm conviction that yes, Krishna is going to come and Krishna is going to come and fulfill my desires, going to satisfy me. And there's a similar pastime in the Chaitanya Charitamrita. You know, No need of guesswork there. It's the passing of a Haridas Thakur. Right? And a lot of similarities between the two pastimes actually. Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami, towards the end of narrating this particular pastime of passing away of Haridas Thakur, he says something beautiful. He says, Chaitanya ra bhakta vatsalya iha tehi jani bhaktavancha purna kaila nyasa shiromani. Chaitanya ra bhakta vatsalya iha tehi jani. This particular pastime of the passing away of Haridas Thakur, it demonstrates Chaitanya ra bhakta vatsalya. How much the Lord loves his devotees. And secondly, bhaktavancha purna kaila nyasa shiromani. And secondly, it shows how the Lord is eager to fulfill the desires of his devotees. First of all, how the Lord wants to glorify his devotees. And secondly, how the Lord is eager to satisfy the desires of his devotees. And this we see both in the passing away of Haridas Thakur and in the passing away of Bhishma Dev. In the passing away of Haridas Thakur, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu expressed his love and affection of towards Haridas Thakur openly. He glorified Haridas Thakur as if he had five mouths. And when Haridas Thakur passed away, he said that the world has lost its crown jewel, who was Haridas Thakur. And then he personally danced with the body of Haridas Thakur in his hands. And when the body of Haridas Thakur was bathed in the sea, Mahaprabhu declared the sea to be the holy place of pilgrimage. So he openly exhibited his affection for his devotee. He openly glorified his devotee. But in the pastime of Bhishma Dev, he did it more covertly. Right? We see, you know, in the previous chapter towards the end, Yudhishthir Maharaj is in a state of perplexity. He is thinking that the entire massacre of the war of Kurukshetra was due to him. He was responsible for the killing of so many scores of people, for he felt he was the cause of an unnecessary war. And if you read those verses very carefully, Yudhishthir's state of consciousness is very much similar to Arjuna's state of consciousness on the battlefield of Kurukshetra, just before the war began, right? So when Arjuna was in a similar state of consciousness, Krishna spoke the Bhagavad Gita and Arjuna was freed from his disillusionment. But in this case, when Yudhishthir was in a similar state of consciousness, he was completely perplexed, confused. And he was not able to see right from wrong. Even Krishna couldn't convince Yudhishthir Maharaj otherwise. And Suta Goswami describes this as Krishnena Adbhuta Karmana. That is, this is Krishna's extraordinary pastime. This is a more extraordinary pastime than Krishna removing the disillusionment of Arjuna on the battlefield of Kurukshetra through imparting transcendental knowledge. Because here, Krishna, while externally trying to, you know, convince Yudhishthir Maharaj that he was not responsible, was internally trying to convince him as a super soul that he was responsible for the massacre. So he was exhibiting a greatest mystic potency. Now, Krishna, the Supreme Lord Himself, trying to convince you of something, and He not being able to convince you, isn't that wonderful? So, Krishna was displaying such a wonderful pastime, and that's why Sutta Goswami describes this as Krishnena Advuta Karmana. And why was Krishna doing this? Because He wanted to glorify Bhishmadev. He failed in pacifying Yudhishthira. Even sages of the caliber of Vyasadeva failed to pacify Yudhishthira Maharaj. And then when Yudhishthira Maharaj was taken to the battlefield of Kurukshetra, Bhishmadev, who was lying on a bed of arrows, through his instructions, he was able to pacify Yudhishthira Maharaj. And Yudhishthira Maharaj was convinced of his position and was convinced that the battle of Kurukshetra was justified, and it was right on his part to occupy the throne and rule over the citizens in a righteous manner. And indeed, these instructions of Bhishmadev far excel from a particular perspective even the instructions that Krishna imparted on the battlefield of Kurukshetra. For example, two incidents that happened right here in the temple hall, right? One was, I think, around 2008 or 2009, when Jayapataka Maharaj, he had come here from Bhaktivedanta Hospital after a long stay following his brain stroke. So he had a brain stroke which very much affected his entire system. So he was hospitalized in Bhaktivedanta for a very long period of time. And once he was discharged, the first thing he did was he came to the temple here. And when he came here, out of his natural humility, he was saying that, just like Yudhishthira's natural humility, so Jayapataka Maharaj, out of his natural humility, was telling that it's because of my own sins that I have to go through all this. And at that particular point of time, His Holiness Radhanath Swami Maharaj quoted these set of verses from this particular chapter, the passing away of Bhishmadev, wherein Bhishmadev says that how could the Pandavas face reversals despite they having followed the principles of Dharma, despite they being protected by the Supreme Personality of Godhead Himself and being under the shelter of the Brahmanas and the Vaishnavas? Now, was Yudhishthira Maharaj or any of his brothers impious souls? Not at all. They were pure devotees of the Lord. Still, they had to go through suffering. How do you explain that? And Bhishmadev says, Sarvakala kritam manye bhavatam chayadapriyam sapalo yadvachelo ko vayoriva ghanavali. All this is the doing of time. It is the effect of the inevitable time factor which moves the material world, which is a representation of the Lord, which represents the inexplicable will of the Lord. Right? When all explanations fail, when all logic fails, when you don't know how to ascertain a reason for a particular cause, the last recourse is the prayers of, are the instructions of Bhishmadev, which he imparted lying on the bed of arrows on the battlefield of Kurukshetra. Even the instructions of Bhagavad Gita can't come to your aid when certain questions confront you, certain challenges confront you. How could this happen? For example, Jayapataka Maharaj, thousands of disciples all over the world, the senior most active disciple of Srila Prabhupada on the planet, such an advanced, exalted devotee, how could he have such a stroke? All logic fails, all reasoning fails. You can't turn to the for an answer in the Bhagavad Gita. You can't use any logic there. The only answer you can get is through the instructions that Bhishma Dev imparts on the battlefield of Kurukshetra. When everything else fails, what props you up are the instructions of Bhishma Dev. From that perspective, they far excel the instructions that Krishna imparted to Arjuna on the battlefield of Kurukshetra. Another instance was in 2012, when during a plane crash, eight of our devotees, you know, from our congregation, they left their bodies. Now, they are not going there for sightseeing. They are not going for a plane ride. They are going on a pilgrimage to Badrinath. And they were killed. You know, many of them were very young, some were even in their teens. Now, what's an answer? How do you explain it? And all logic fails, all reasoning fails. And then again, from this very Vyasasan, when Radhanath Maharaj was delivering that particular condolence speech, and in the audience were sitting the family members of these deceased devotees, Maharaj again quoted from the same verses the instructions of Lord Bhishma Dev. So Bhishma Dev is glorified for all time to come by Lord Shri Krishna himself. He practically demonstrated. He may not have glorified Bhishma Dev verbally on the battlefield of Kurukshetra when Bhishma Dev was about to pass away, but he demonstrated it by allowing Bhishma Dev to speak instructions which are immortal, which are going to be quoted for all time to come. In the greatest of crisis, when no explanations come to your aid. So in that way, he glorified Bhishma Dev covertly, if not overtly. Second is, you know, through both this pastime, the passing of Haridas Thakur and the passing away of Bhishma Dev, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Krishna, both of them non-different, they showed how they are eager to fulfill the desires of their devotees. So Bhishma Dev had that desire. Now he is expressing his desire in this particular verse. Let my ultimate attraction be to Sri Krishna, the personality of Godhead. Right? He desired that Krishna be in front of him at the time of his death. And Krishna fulfilled that desire of his. And similarly, Haridas Thakur also had that desire that Mahaprabhu be in front of his eyes as he passed away from this world. The Chaitanya Charitamrita describes how, you know, one particular day, when Mahaprabhu's personal servant Govinda, he came to deliver Mahaprasad to Haridas Thakur, he found Haridas Thakur lying down while slowly chanting the holy names of the Lord. And Haridas Thakur said that, I can't accept this Mahaprasad. At the same time, I can't reject it because it is the mercy of the Lord. So offering his obeisances to the Mahaprasad, he took a little bit of it and he said that I can't accept the whole of Mahaprasad because I have not completed my rounds yet. And then the next day Mahaprabhu comes there and asks him, what is your disease, Haridas? What exactly is wrong? And Haridas replies that my body is okay, but my mind and intelligence are unwell. Because I'm not able to finish my prescribed number of rounds. And then Haridas Thakur puts forth his desire to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, saying that, "My dear Lord, I know that you are going to put an end to your pastimes very soon, and I don't want to witness it. So allow me to leave my body while meditating upon your beautiful lotus face." Mahaprabhu initially resists, saying that the only source of my happiness is your association. But then finally Haridas Thakur, when he was adamant, Mahaprabhu concedes, and the next day Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu comes along with his devotees and they have kirtan, and then Haridas Thakur clutches the lotus feet of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and places it upon his heart, and he meditates on the lotus face of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and while chanting the holy names of Lord Chaitanya, Sri Krishna Chaitanya, he leaves his body and goes back to the spiritual world. And everyone was reminded of the passing away of Bhishma Dev. Actually, you know, the comparison between Haridas Thakur and Bhishma Dev comes twice in this particular chapter of Chaitanya Charitamrita. First time, when Haridas Thakur leaves his body, the devotees are reminded of the passing away of Bhishma Dev. And the second time, when the entire festival of the passing away of Haridas Thakur was over, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he himself says that Haridas Thakur passed away from this world of his own will, just like Bhishma Dev passed away from this world. Ichha Mrityu. And in this way, there is a parallel between the passing away of Haridas Thakur and the passing away of Bhishma Dev. There is one more parallel, which is that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, as I said, when Haridas Thakur was passing away, he didn't come alone. He came along with his devotees to demonstrate that Krishna means Krishna and his devotees. He came along with his devotees, and together with his devotees, they were present when Haridas Thakur passed away from this world. Similarly, in the episode of passing away of Bhishma Dev, Krishna came with his devotees, the Pandavas. At the same time, he inspired devotees from all over the planet to assemble there to witness the passing away of Bhishma Dev. Again, demonstrating the fact that Krishna and his devotees are one unit. They cannot be separated. And even the devotees acknowledge it. Right? In this particular verse, for example, Bhishma Dev, he is addressing Krishna in relationship with his devotees. Vijayaratha Kutumba Atatotre is remembering Krishna in his future as Partha Sarthi, one who had taken charge of the chariot of Arjuna. Kutumba is translated as the object of protection at all risk. Right? Kutumba also means family. So people in this world, they protect their family at all risk. So Krishna considers his devotees to be his kutumba, to be his family. And he is ready to protect his family, take care of his family at all risk. And on the battlefield of Kurukshetra, Krishna was ready to give protection to Arjuna and his chariot at all risk. And Bhishma is remembering that aspect of Sri Krishna on the battlefield of Kurukshetra. Similarly, the passing away of Haridas Thakur, this particular verse comes. Swaradaye ani dharila praburacharan sarvabhakta padareno mastake bhushan. That when Haridas Thakur, how did he pass away, right? Swaradaye ani dharila praburacharan. As I was telling, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Haridas Thakur held the lotus feet of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu swaradaye upon his heart. He placed the feet of the Supreme Lord upon his heart. And in the same verse, Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami says, Sarva Bhakta Padarenu Mastake Bhushan. That while Haridas Thakur held the lotus feet of Mahaprabhu on his heart, simultaneously he took the dust from the lotus feet of all devotees upon his head. So through both of these pastimes, while Krishna and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu demonstrated that he and his devotees are integral, similarly, the devotee who was passing away, whether it was Bhishmadev or it was Haridas Thakur, both of them acknowledged this, that the Supreme Lord is inseparable from his devotees, and the Lord is most satisfied when we see him in relation to his devotees, when we serve his devotees, when we satisfy his devotees, and when we honor his devotees. And then we already use the time. So, thank you very much for your kind attention. To end, just with one thing, that there are a few more parallels between the pastime of Haridas passing away and Bhishmadev passing away. But apart from the parallels, there's a very important difference, which I thought was a difference, which was that while in Krishna Leela, it's very difficult to figure out. We acknowledge and understand the exalted position of Bhishma, but at the same time, it's a challenge to understand how exactly to follow in its footsteps. Because Bhishmadev's life wasn't very straightforward, very filled with controversies, a very controversial life that Bhishmadev led. Very difficult to follow in its footsteps. But Chaitanya Leela, it's all about demonstrating for the people of Kali Yuga how to reach that same exalted position by following the footsteps of devotees. So we can all attain the same affection of the Supreme Lord by following in the footsteps of Haridas Thakur, which is very simple, by chanting a prescribed number of rounds every day and trying our best to lead a life following in its footsteps, that is, trying to follow the instructions. Thank you. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna.
Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.